The rumble of a capital, non-atmosphere ship, as picked off the vibration of its bridge window glass, was clearly penetrated by the voice of Ruf Arsebarger. "You must act independently, Snow Leader. You must do whatever gives you the best chance of private profit. What I am telling you to do is rush on down to that base and grab it all for yourself. Once you have this planet under your personal control, you can tell everybody else to buzz off and be damned. Smash the place. Seize the people and sell them for your own profit. I will cover you, and like it or not, that is what you must do. The power is mine, and we will split the profits. Understood?" Snell Eater was smiling. He touched his quarter admiral's cap in a salute. "I am at your orders." Johnny hit another button. The camera seemed to draw further away. It showed the whole combined force in the sky over the Purgatoire River. The sound was off. "That is your admiral. That is your fleet." Johnny hit a pair of buttons. The picture was gone and the spotlight back on. The emissaries were enthralled. They had never seen atmosphere projection before. It was like looking at a totally live scene. Yes, that was the Tallnet fleet, all right. That was the admiral. Schleim's attitude said clearly it was. Suddenly, Lord Schleim exploded.
"Doctored pictures. Anyone got recordings? This so-called evidence..."
"Oh, come now, Schleim," said Johnny. "Bombast and hysteria won't cancel this. The pictures were too clear to be doctored, as you call it." He turned to the emissaries. "So you see, your lordships, the Tallnet admiral was not acting under the orders of his government, but under those of a private individual. He was acting for personal profit, and not for his planet. Be quiet, Schleim. You can't cover up evidence with shockingly bad temper. My apologies for his conduct, my lords. One can sympathize with his position. This Quarter Admiral Snell Eater, by the way, is the uncle of Half-Captain Rogo Dieter Snell, and was brought into the venture by his nephew according to disks and traces we have available. It was a family matter, and the piratical venture is obviously being continued by the nephew. Johnny did not tell them there was a lot more in the views just shown, which did not necessarily carry out his point. But very clearly, Ruf Arsebarger had been the one to egg the admiral on. "So the point of piracy," said Johnny, "has been proven. Here we had a fleet operating by another authority from that of its government. If you will indulge me a moment longer, I will simply ask this Schleim for the surrender of those ships, and then we can get about our more appropriate business of piracies and treaties. Schleim, will you please call whoever is in command now and tell him to gather his ships in a meadow I will name?"
"You must be mad," screamed Schleim. "Our fleet is in full command of your skies, and you ask us to help end a pirate venture."
Johnny finished for him. "My lords, forgive me, but this Schleim is going to occupy a little more of your valuable time before you are rid of him. With your permission, we will complete this odious business."
"Yes, yes. By all means, go ahead. We can take up the treaty later."
They agreed. The combatant planet emissaries were looking at one another, a bit frightened. What had they gotten themselves mixed up in? The small gray man looked less hangdog. But Sir Robert, studying Schleim, knew he was far from finished. He was using the moment to hiss into his radio. He was giving orders, something about making suicide crashes. He must be a bit rattled, for he was speaking cyclo. Sir Robert excused himself and stepped quickly over to operations to tell their forces what was going on, to tell them to be alert, to double their efforts to fight back. The first small gray man slipped out and passed an order to his ship to turn on two red lights and change the radio signal to "Alert, alert, an interplanetary intergalactic conference is taking place within this area. Any capital ship or vessel of any kind entering this zone will be branded an intergalactic outlaw and its government or owner subject to all penalties that can be imposed. Alert, alert, an interplanetary intergalactic conference is..." 3. Lord Slime was not the least bit rattled. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was now applying a maxim of diplomacy which stated that when diplomacy failed, one resorted to military means. It had become obvious to him in these last few minutes that if he continued along the previous course, he would lose. So he had shifted his entire planning suddenly and irrevocably. These were very troubled times. He felt the power of the small gray man had crumbled, and that things were not what they used to be. Therefore, any threat of retaliation from the small gray man could be ignored. This was the first emissary meeting in over a year, and he was completely certain that the power of the emissaries and collective governments had become a shadow that was no real danger to Talnap. These empires and states were too far away. He had just given Half-Captain, now Captain Snell, just today, very specific orders. He had used a word code known only to officers of flag rank and executives high in the Talnap government. Using one set of words, one could convey quite another meaning. Additionally, the radio band used was hyper-non-directional, known only to the Talnaps, and could not be picked up on any other radio except those used by flag officers and the diplomatic service, a band which was constantly running on the bridge of every Talnap major war vessel. And if that weren't safe enough, the transmissions were also scrambled. Slime had just ordered Rogo Dieter Snell to send the ships of other combatants to the terrestrial points being defended by the Earthlings, to gather up all Talnap forces, and to proceed with all speed to the conference location. He had told Snell to totally disregard any and all conference warnings of the small gray man. Since the bulk of the Talnap vessels were at Singapore, a little over 4,500 miles away, quite close, really, they would arrive over this spot in about 2 hours. Slime had, in the bottom of his scepter, on the opposite end from the radio, a paralysis beam. All he had to do was give the end of it a twist, and every person or creature within hearing would become instantly paralyzed, except himself. A tap on his own ears first would close his deaf flaps. This entire conference was at his mercy. All he had to do was get them all outside in the bowl on some pretext, so that any and all guards were also within hearing distance, listen for the first signs of the arrival of his fleet, tap his own ears, and twist the bottom of the scepter. Talnap diplomats were chosen for bravery as well as wits. He would pick up a gun and shoot his way to the switches of the armor cable, if necessary, turn it off, and let his fleet marines in. As to this teleportation console, he really couldn't care less. Talnap would be better off if it were destroyed. A nation that based its economy on slavery was always under some kind of threat, and this teleportation had interfered with Talnap far more than it had helped. He himself was within flying distance of home. The other combatants were also, and would have to bow to his commands or be killed. As for the rest of these emissaries, how they got home, if ever, was no concern of his. And dead emissaries and a dead litter of terrestrial personnel told no tales, especially when buried. He would, of course, go through the motions of torturing this devil and try to get the teleportation design out of him. If the devil died in the process, it did not matter. But the cream of the jest was that if anything went wrong, he would use the devil's own arguments to defend himself. He would claim that Rogo Dieter Snell had turned pirate, that he had acted contrary to orders, and that his approach to this conference was an outlaw act. He knew he could depose and execute Snell and still command the Talnap crews. Snell would simply be sacrificed for the greater good of the state, a common expedient in such diplomatic circles. Slime could even mop up the other belligerents using the Talnap fleet, if it came to that. It was very neat planning. The only thing he had to solve now was how to get this entire conference out into the bowl. He was now feeling so confident he was hardly even listening to this devil as he resumed his actions. Whatever the devil did would be useless, without avail. Tolerantly, Lord Slime sat back and lent half an ear to the continuing proceedings. Diplomacy was indeed quite an art, but if it failed, there was always force. He fingered the bottom end of his scepter. He tuned the rest of his hearing in to catch the first rumbles of his fleet in the sky.